to. A long time ago, in a maize field far, far, far away, there was a legendary moment where clearly the Force and the midichlorians and Qui-Gon Jinn and a whole heap of other names from that galaxy created by Lucas said, ultimately, we need to do something for Farmer Tom and Colonel, and of course, his many companions at the maze. And we're delighted to say, yes, we're here. I say we. It's not really the role we. The rest of the Madrid Drivettes have been unable to attend. But we have actually got the fabulous Tom Piercy in person with us.
Maze the Force be with you.
Jeez. Tom, I already feel privileged. And I was trying just to maintain the dignity with the whole process, Tom, as you appreciate.
I'm afraid if it's a bit corny, that's just one of our trademarks. Oh, that's another one.
He's just rolling them out here. Phil Leardus, where are you? Los Angeles. Okay. We've already had the official presentation of your calendar, Tom. Trust you appreciate the special cosmic theme that we actually had, the cosmological background there. Are you happy, given that you share it, obviously, with Ed Wellman and many other midweek drivers?
Yes, I did notice we have a bit of a space theme going on there, Alex. What's the thinking behind that?
Well, I kind of had a feeling that the likely was there was going to be some sort of space theme for the whole thing, and I feel it's the final frontier. It's where we should be moving on to, hyperspace drive. And let's face it, it's not like dusting for crops, boy. You know, jumping through hyperspace is something completely different.
No, absolutely. I'm very, very, very proud to be Mr. July. Mr. July, 2017?
There is only one 2017 in our particular cosmos. Next year, who knows what 2018 will actually work to. Enough of such jolly banter, though we could continue at length for probably a good few hours. Once again, I think you've pulled out all the stops and the team are in top form and everybody actually looks as though they're having a thoroughly enjoyable time. The maze has been open now for a little over 2 weeks?
Just under 2 weeks, about a week and a half now. And I'm glad to say it's rained nearly every day we've been open. But the only way is up from this point, Alex, and although it has been raining, there is still a lot to do here, even if it's raining, so we've still had plenty of people through the doors, and everyone seems to be enjoying it, and we're enjoying having them all, and I'm really enjoying our Star Wars theme this year, because I think Star Wars, although every year I seem to have a new favourite thing that we're celebrating, but definitely, Star Wars is my favourite one.
Of course, we were featured on last night's Midweek Drive. It's now being a Thursday, basically, depending on when you're listening to this. It may be on a Thursday, maybe on the Friday. Who knows when podcasts are released? It may be the following week. But you were saying that of all the mazes you've done so far, and there's a theme to each one, as we've said, whether it's Bond, whether it's Harry Potter, whether it's Doctor Who, all of them have had a wonderfully unique theme. This has been certainly a labour of love for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's obviously the whole thing we're celebrating this year, it's 40 years since the launch of the first Star Wars film. And it's just, you know, it's staggering how popular it still is and how current it still feels. You know, 40 years ago, and you watch a Star Wars film now, and it's still like, wow, you know, this is so futuristic. And, you know, the film doesn't date. You know, and we had the guys down here from the Sentinel Squad, who these guys avidly dress up in very accurate costumes. And take it to the nth degree, you know, they repeat the lines of the film, and, you know, verbatim, and just really impressive. And, you know, I don't think there's any other film, really, that people will put that dedication and time into buying the costumes, dressing up in the costumes, and again, you know, recreating scenes from a film that's 40 years old. It's an amazing thing.
There are those of us.
Amazing thing.
Yes, I was... Tom, you don't necessarily... Shall we actually have a competition that effectively, if people can come up with a more amazing pun, they can get, I don't know, free entry to Harrow Scream or something?
I think we should do... have you heard of Boycott Bingo? On Test Match Special, where when Jeff Boycott says Corridor of Uncertainty or Stick of Rhubarb or any of his catchphrases, you kind of score it after a certain number of points. So same thing, you know.
Maybe we should
count my corn based gags.
That works for me.
I am outstanding in my field at this, by the way.
And again, thinking about movies, I'd probably actually say that there are a lot of fans for The Spy Who Loved Me. Obviously, Bond as a motif kind of carries through that whole system. And equally, we've got the Star Trek series and so on. Star Wars for me has always been a kind of mixed love. I mean, I always felt, actually, on the one hand, always grateful that it paved the way for the resurgence of Star Trek, to actually make it in terms of Star Trek the Motion Picture, or as indeed our director in California, Phil Leonis, would say, Star Trek the Motionless Picture. I think it was harsh.
Very harsh.
But, you know, again, there's that energy behind it. And as you say, I don't know, maybe The Hobbits also. That's another sort of line where any sort of fandom, it shows the sort of positivity that's actually there. And, of course, the length and seriousness to which the fans will take it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a very serious thing, apparently. Yes, we shouldn't laugh at them. It's very serious.
There is, of course, the first time that you have officially, Tom, incorporated the notion of a religion into the York Maze, because, of course, Jedi is an officially recognised religion.
It is. I'm thinking of converting myself.
Makes perfect sense, and as I say, the midichlorians are definitely there. I've clearly avoided any mention of the Binks character. Still think it's sad that there's no mention of a Gungan anywhere to be found, but maybe he's hiding somewhere.
I don't think anybody ever has enjoyed any appearance from Jar Jar Binks in any movie.
Okay. But in terms of the actual sort of sequence itself, we were talking earlier that the video is likely to go viral. In fact, it probably has gone viral to our cousins in the States.
Yeah, I mean, the videos of the launch, we've had millions and literally millions of views. Yeah, it was on an American TV show this morning. Somebody sent me a link and it was their viral video of the week. And I'm very, very pleased and proud to say that the image does look great. You know, it's a giant Death Star flying across the sky. And it looks a bit reminiscent of the original Star Wars poster, I suppose, with the characters sort of in the foreground. But yeah, it's good. And actually, it lends itself to a very good maze. You know, Death Star has many lines and things. So it's actually created a very usable and good maze, so yeah.
Switched off the guidance computer. He's using the Force to actually guide him in. A memorable moment.
I did have similar problems with trying to recreate the scene where the Luke Skywalker flies down the valley in the Death Star to try and blow it up, and obviously has to use the Force. So I thought, right, we shall recreate this down a maze pathway using my drone. I don't think the Force was with me. My drone is now in tatters, covered in greenery and destroyed.
Maybe it was just trying to tell you something. Maybe it was a different line. If it was a droid piloting the drone, then it would be a different thing entirely.
Yes, I should have been practicing on the rats in the, whatever they are, the giant rats in the canyon.
That's what Biggs, of course, used to do. And it was okay for Biggs, then it would have been good enough for Tom Piercy. We've already talked about weather being sunshine and showers so far, which is as predicted. But in terms of that, there are lots of other things to do indoors. I mean, presumably Colonel Kernel's House of Corn Fusion is still there.
Yes, we made a few alterations in the House of Corn Fusion.
Oh.
Yeah, so you need to go and have a look in there and get a wobble on. It's always good fun in there. And, yeah, there's still plenty to do outside the maze. And actually, one thing we've done this year, which I've been very pleased with and very timely, we created a machine over the winter that actually makes the pathways in the maze, which are obviously made of soil, but it makes them into the sort of dome shape that the Romans originated on the Roman roads, so that the water runs off the pathway, so even when it's wet, people can still go around the maze, which is very useful this year.
Very sophisticated. Of course, as Philip K. Dick, the writer, once said, we were just an illusion, living an illusion, that the Romans actually still occupy us, and we're all actually imagining it in any way, shape or form. That was towards the end of his life, of course.
Yeah, I mean, going off on a tangent on this one, you know, roads nowadays full of potholes, aren't they? Why don't they make roads cambered like the Romans used to, so the water runs off, the puddles don't get splashed, and the holes don't erupt? It would solve potholes in one fell swoop.
And indeed, the sign when you come down to the York Maze with adverse camber would make so much more sense. You wouldn't have to explain it to any passengers.
Absolutely perfect.
Let's talk a little bit about your team, because, again, I'm very impressed with the efficiency, politeness, energy, enthusiasm, professionalism, ultimately, that I'm greeted with at the start of the maze. And that's something which you seem to have managed to score right away across the base, whether they're students doing work from that point of view, whether from the London Dungeon. What's the secret, Tom? Do you actually drill them for 6 months mercilessly over the hiatus in the sort of January through June time until they're really like crack troops ready to go?
Yes, you're actually not far off the mark there. We do pride ourselves on having really exceptional staff and trying to, you know, just have fun with everybody and engage with people, and it is part of the training. A large part of it is our recruitment process. We have a very odd recruitment process here, Alex, which I'm not entirely sure whether you know about, but essentially every member of staff has to audition on stage as if they were about to join the theatre. So it just makes sure that we get sort of happy, outgoing, confident people that are, you know, they're in a, already the right sort of people to have a nice
jazz
time.
Hands, possibly an asset there.
Lots of jazz hands, and we task them with odd things that they have to do. And a little interesting story, if you want, one time Part of the recruitment process is they have to go on stage and sell an item to the crowd of people. We do big group interviews, and they have to go on stage and try and sell an item so we can sort of see whether they're, you know, whether they can work in an ad hoc situation. So they pick an item off a table, they have to go on the stage, and then we say, okay, but you can't sell that for its intended purpose. So these guys are sat there looking at the item thinking, oh, crikey, what am I going to do? So last year we had a guy with a jar of Marmite. And he's looking at this Marmite, slightly perplexed, thinking, what can I do, what can I do? And very, very brilliantly, he opened the lid and said, I would like to demonstrate to you my new type of sun cream, and covered himself top to toe in Marmite. And then had to sit through the rest of the interview coated in Marmite, which I thought was fantastic. And he got a job, and he's the sort of person that we employ here.
And in terms of when you say covered himself...
Love him or hate him.
Was he wearing clothes? Did he actually disrobe? How far did he actually go in terms of skin covered with Marmite?
He was T-shirt and shorts, so he applied it all over his face and arms and some on the legs. Yeah.
See, these are critical aspects in terms of clearly post-Brexit. We need to have these things put in place to actually sort out our trade agreements and so on. And whether it be Mr. Rees-Mogg, Mr. Johnson, Mrs. May... or indeed JC himself. They need to be aware of these kind of things.
Absolutely. These are the crucial issues at hand.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about the old favourites, because I know Ed Wellman was very taken with the Cornmobile. We've talked about some of the other sort of areas that are there. I still miss the double-decker bus, Tom, from years past. I still think, you know, not that you're ever likely to celebrate 40-odd years of double-deckers. Could happen. But... are there still some old favourites? Do you actually work on the process of evolution rather than revolution, still keeping the core to hand, but, you know, adding a few added bonuses?
Yeah, I mean, the core here is...
maize.
Yes, it's maize and maize plants. So it kind of gives us... there are two themes, really, to the place. One is the maize plants, and one is mazes that you get lost in. So everything we do here relates to one or the other. And, yeah, it's kind of evolution, and we've kind of evolved down that road. It's good fun. It gives us something to sort of hang everything on. So, you know, we've got things like the world's first and only corn-themed obstacle course, otherwise known as the Cobstacle course. We've opened this year a brand new attraction, which is full of birds of prey and snakes and spiders and lizards and reptiles and the like. And that's actually, it's the Scarecrow Centre, and it's where we research into what type of animals will help scare the crows away from York Maze. So, you know, at airports they use birds of prey to scare pigeons and things away. We're working on the same premise. We have a lot of trouble with crows here at the maze eating the crop, so we're looking for ways to get rid of them. This year, obviously, we have all the crows invading the place, and they have a head guy in charge of them, the Crow Man. He's a rather troublesome character, and he's kidnapped one of our mascots again this year. So we have to go on a little ride and try and defeat him. And that kind of, it's an ongoing battle here, us versus the crows.
See, this summer is what makes the British summer just quintessentially eccentric. This is the kind of thing which in the 21st century, when people have felt that the tourist industry for Britain is losing its mojo, it's one in the eye to say, no, it's not, life continues.
Yes, and I mean, a terrifying prospect. We've actually got a crow lady has joined the team this year, and she describes herself as Theresa May with feathers. That's the level of her power, she tells us.
Or lack of power, perhaps.
Absolutely.
Depending on whether people vote before or after, or what decision she actually makes.
So, yes, I'm hoping you're going to go to the Crowbot show, which will be on shortly, and you can actually meet face-to-face with the crow lady and see quite how devastating she is.
Well, that may happen today, Tom. It may happen when we actually return, hopefully with a few midweek drive-ups as well. But for the moment, it's been a delightful touching base with yourself, as ever. Let's give the details out in terms of how people actually can get access to details of yorkmaze.com. Presumably, go to yorkmaze.com.
Yeah, it's all the W's, yorkmaze.com, as simple as that. So, yes, go on there, buy your tickets cheaper online, and come down, enjoy the day with us.
One last thing we're going to ask you to do, which is a station ident. So, hi, I'm Tom Piercy, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM.
Hi, I'm Tom Piercy, the Maze Master, and you are listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM.